It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. Well, unless I'm seriously wrong, it's Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, we're your hosts. Steve Johann is the producer. There are literally gazillions of listeners to this particular 148th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We're on iTunes, we're on iHeart Podcast, Spotify, we're on Podomatic. Let's see, where else? Stitcher, Steve got a list, TuneIn, Player FM. I've never heard of Player FM, but apparently we're on there.
Yep,
Podbay,
yep.
CastBox, all of those things. Yep. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we are there. And we're glad to have you there. Thanks for liking and following our Facebook page and for checking out our latest shows. The archives are getting deeper and deeper. Steve is loading them online, so that's pretty cool. Right now, our first segment, as always, is Back to the Blacktop, and that's where Steve roots around in the trash can behind Hot Rod Magazine's publishing house and finds cool stuff that he can talk about. And I don't have any idea what it's going to be today, but I'm almost sure that some of it will be true.
Oh, the Peterson Publishing is not local, so I would love to go to Peterson Publishing
see?
And root around behind
see?
Their behind
and,
their warehouse.
And who would know that?
I know. It's like Roadkill and all those guys are all part of that now.
Yeah, that's right.
They're keeping up the Hot Rod thing.
That's right.
And speaking of which, the Power Tour, of course, was changed like everything else.
Oh, yes.
And we'll be speaking about a tour here coming up here shortly. But
that wasn't changed.
No, it wasn't. But I wanted to begin with, Ford has a new CEO, or it will formally on October 1st, when Jim Farley steps in to replace retiring Jim Hackett. The 58-year-old Farley is high-tech champion who sees Apple, Amazon, and Tesla as key competitors, as well as GM and Toyota. Okay. So the big news is they're changing things out, and the other big news is what I've noticed, I kind of scraped through the different headings, is that everybody is worried about the tech giants out there horning their way into the automotive industry.
Well, it's inevitable.
And you're like, okay, are they going to start building cars? No, they're going to build the technology that
of
goes
course.
In the cars.
Of course.
The connectivity and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so in order to stay up with it, they need to bring someone in who's a little more, up to date, you might say, in that field.
Sure. So, how are you going to get your car to program your onboard micro and your, massaging seats if you don't have somebody that knows the tech? I mean, come on.
And just remember, autonomous is always in the back of their brain because we do want to.
Is it?
Well, it is. We've talked about enough on that. I don't like autonomous. I hate autonomous.
Tula Lumbagata.
The whole yeah, that's right.
So July was another tough month for automakers with Subaru, Toyota, perhaps taking the biggest hits of them all. Sales dropping 20%, while Lexus saw it only about 10%. But overall, everybody has been losing it. Above that, though, there are two. Hyundai and Mazda actually managed to gain some ground.
Yes, they did.
And speaking of losing ground,
we were just speaking of gaining ground.
We were. But speaking of losing ground, I was talking to Ron, who works at a big plant north of here.
He does.
Who builds things that fly in the air. And my neighbor and I were talking last night about the impact of the close downs and all this, and they estimate 5 years for any kind of recovery when
Auto
it comes
recovery?
To
yeah.
flying.
I did see a story about the 37 getting ready to come back. Isn't that?
That's true, yep.
Yeah, that'll be a big help.
Breaking news today, yep.
Yeah. So, that,
are you doing anything with the big military thing that is flying over lately?
They're just testing.
He's in it.
That's what I mean. It's like,
no, I'm not in it.
Jeez, the thing's just going around and around every day.
Yeah. If you're over Moses Lake, you'll see him flying around all over there.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, this is for people who are listening from somewhere other than the Pacific Northwest, our studios are basically in the flight plan for Payne Field, which is where Boeing's main plant is. And we have huge multi-engine, all kinds of stuff, stealth bombers flying over the place.
Constantly.
I'm surprised that you don't hear them behind the mic every now and then because they're gigantic.
That's why I closed the
Reminds
window.
Reminds me of a drag race.
That's right.
Track.
It does.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's good stuff.
Well, a good article about Cadillac. I thought we had kind of spent a little time here. But do you remember the good old days of Eldorado, Coupe de Villes, and Fleetwoods?
Oh, yeah, sure, the Eldos.
Well, then they changed to CTS, ATS and such. And then they moved to CT6 and XT4. What happened to just naming cars and keeping the cars like they used to with good names?
Well, they ran out of cool names, I think.
Well, like with technology, they probably changed the names.
Sure.
Yeah, they want to be more futuristic.
Yeah.
Well, aligning with that futurism, earlier this year, two concepts named Solistic with a Q and Lyric with a Q have been released.
This is Cadillac?
This is Cadillac. And now word has it that, you've got Solistic, Symbolic with a Q and Optic with a Q is coming out. And I'm like, is somebody on the QAnon
apparently
deal here? Or they've been watching Star Trek reruns
or
and watching the
spell.
Q.
I mean,
it's like Q. The Q is on all four of these things. And I'm like, I think we've entered a different realm. It is no longer Fleetwood and Coupe de Ville's.
Dotson had the Z.
That's right.
I know.
It's all going to matter whether the car is a decent car or not. They'll call it whatever they want. As long as it's cool, it looks good, it rides good, it's got decent mileage, got performance, all of that, that's what matters.
They got to sell.
Yeah, you can call it, you know, anything.
I think when you think about, if we were to sit here and start listing off every name of every car that was produced,
you'd probably
run out of names. And all the best ones are, you know, Rocket and Delta and Impalas and Novas and
The animal names, the technology names,
all that stuff. And that kind of went along with each era, didn't it?
Roadmaster.
Roadrunner.
Buick. There you go.
Dusters.
Sure.
Demons.
How far do we take this?
Oh, yeah.
My daughter had a feather duster. It was a six-cylinder Plymouth.
Yeah, nice.
Well, now, speaking of online events, because a lot of things these days have gone to online, and one of the big areas that have been kind of booming, as we've been talking about, is the dealers. Dealers are doing a lot more online. They set up the appointment. You go in, you look at your car, but a lot of online sales. Well, they had the largest sale at R.M. Sotheby's online called Open Road. It's the European Summer Auction, and they closed bidding at 8.23 million in total sales.
Nice.
So instead of showing up, you've got to go online, and they have they create their own videos of the guy, and they'll do the test drives, and they'll talk about them. So you can kind of sit there from the pleasure of your big screen TV and look at it, and then you can be there with your cell phone and bidding away.
It's kind of like Sotheby's is now the high tech or the high dollar version of Carvana
or eBay.
Well, you've seen Carvana, haven't you?
No.
Sure. That's one of the online deals where you can shop for your new Acura or your whatever it is online. They do basically exactly that, and then they deliver the car. It's a no-touch thing. The guy shows up with a car hauler and rolls it off the trailer, and there you go. But I'm thinking that's going to cost you $30,000, whereas Sotheby's is probably a little bit.
Well, and this one you're bidding too. You're bidding, and somebody's sitting there at their keyboard just.
It's
doing
just a matter
this.
Of time.
It is.
Sure.
Is Barrett Jackson kind of like that when they have their auction?
Yeah, they're all going that route. Everything is going that route.
Well,
it's all online.
They're doing more stuff online now.
Yep.
But, you know, even the shows, Meekum and Barrett Jackson, when they were doing the TV shows, still are, you can do a bid online. You can call in a bid.
You'd see people running up there and doing the bids for them. Well, due to the pressure from above, all Indy Racing will not be live this year. He originally, Mr. Penske, had said, we're going to have it open for everybody. Yeah. Then, half as many. Then a quarter. And you know what? I'm going to be honest. It's not a safety issue anymore. It's a big red target on the back of your behind. Because a lot of companies that try to open up and do things, churches, you name it, then all of a sudden something leaks out. Oh, there was a case. They located a case in there, and all of a sudden,
all the bad press
gets nailed at these guys, and you can just ruin a company that way. So they're saying, forget it. We can't deal with this. And so now it'll just be a racers, online only, or
having been to that
TV.
Track, it's a crying shame that they're not going to have live. I mean, they'll have live racing. There's nobody will be able to watch it.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous facility. Just wonderful.
And it'll be back.
It will be back probably next year.
Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed, do a lot of praying that that will happen, but what a shame. You know, here we go, just in one more countdown from the lockdown.
Such is life. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we get an update on the RSC Rat Rods and More build-off from Kevin Martin, and we have a special guest coming up in studio in the segment that follows. This is Horsepower, Chrome and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Hey, it's Hillary Nowak from Ink and Iron in Oakville, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We can't help you with the horsepower, but we can definitely help you with the chrome and rust.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, and this week we've got Kevin Martin. And Kevin Martin is somebody who's been on our show numerous times. And he's got such a long list of things he's involved with. I always get confused. So,
is there anything, Kevin, that you're not involved with? We'll start with that. You don't have your own.
I have nothing to do with Girl Scout cookies.
And you don't have your own label of whiskey yet, do you?
Well, you didn't see that.
I did. Oh, I did. I was leading you in. I know.
Oh, he does.
What sort? You got a. It's an IPA, isn't it?
Well, we have an IPA, and we also had a whiskey for the Rat Rod 600 that was donated in our name.
Oh, you did?
Labeled in our
Even
name.
Better.
Wow, wow.
So, Kevin, Kevin's involved with Ratchet Crazy Guys out of Spokane/Idaho/Montana/ wherever anybody can find a place to meet over there. And
exactly.
Kevin is also one of the driving forces behind what's the official title of the thing? I just keep calling it the build-off, but I know it's there's.
Yeah, and I do too. I believe it's the RSC build-off 4K build-off challenge.
There you go.
If I'm not mistaken.
So $4,000 budget. The car's got to go 1,000 miles. And basically, this thing started a couple of years ago, and now all of a sudden you're just going great guns. For those of you who haven't gotten a piece of this yet. You can find it on Facebook, and when you do, you're going to see not only what's going on with the build-off, but there's a lot of peripheral stuff people will post. And the reason I called Kevin was, A, I wanted to find out how the build is going, and we're going to talk about that. But also, I was looking at Facebook, and here's a father and son team from Ohio who decided, you know what, we're going to do this. And they dragged a 40 Chevy business coupe out of the mud and decided that's what they're going to use to build?
That's exactly right. I just saw that yesterday. I knew they'd been in for a while, but I didn't know what they were building until I saw that yesterday.
That's very cool. So give us the background on the build-off.
Well, the build-off is we tried to go old school. It's a 4K budget, 1,000-mile build, pre-war, so we're going to call that technically it's 40 and older, original patina car. It started out as a challenge between a few of us in our little group here. And as of Saturday while we were gone, I got my 40th paid entry.
That's awesome.
Which ensures the winner. So the winner gets all the money.
Right.
And the winner will have a free car when they're done. We're giving away $4,000.
That is too cool.
Now, I like it.
And the deadline for getting in is what? Because you're getting kind of down to it, aren't you?
It is. was Friday. Yeah,
Friday.
last day of the month. We're going to cut it off a year prior.
Well, 40 people compared to what was last year? It was like half that, wasn't it, or even less?
Well, we actually, I've never done a build off before, but just by, you know, I've really been pushing on this to get this in. I've not done a build off personally.
Right.
But you had an event last year. There was a bunch of guys, but it wasn't really the build off. It was kind of the pre-build off run, essentially.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. And it's, we're growing like gangbusters. This is just build off cars. We're not talking, the youth build off has joined our event.
That's right.
We were at the event this last weekend. So we were there a year ago this last weekend is when this will take place in Red Lodge, Montana.
Right. Right.
And the people there are so excited about this. They gave us a city block. That they're going to block off for us, a city block parking lot with a it's going to be so perfect. It's going to be unbelievable. They're going to give us our own little area for our entire event within their event.
That's super. And Red Lodge is a great little town.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Never been there before till this weekend.
Man, I got people over that way.
Gotcha. Nice.
I got people all over Montana. That's cool. So now what's the route going to be? Because you guys are going to do 1,000 miles. So right. I know you've been kind of adjusting it a little bit, but you got a final route now?
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what I did, we're going to, those of us in Spokane are going to go to Tri-Cities, the Pasco area, Wednesday evening. We will leave there as a group, meet up with people from Yakima, Seattle, Portland. We're going to go down via Highway 84 all the way towards Boise.
Right.
And then down into Salt Lake. The first night we'll stay in Salt Lake. We're working with some people. I haven't got this solid yet, but we're working with some people trying to get a group tour up Kandigat Friday morning before we head out and make the long trip back up through Wyoming and Montana to Red Lodge.
There you go. And then you'll stay in Red Lodge the night, and then everybody kind of winds their way home the following day, right?
No, then the next day is the event. So we'll get in on Friday night, spend the night. We'll do all day Saturday for the event. And then while we were there, we decided, we did an impromptu trip this weekend up over the Beartooth Pass into Wyoming. And it was about a 4-hour loop, and it was the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen. So we're going to add a day, and we're going to offer a rat rod, hot rod tour up over Beartooth Pass at 11,000 feet.
Super.
On Sunday, and then go home on Monday.
That is a gorgeous pass.
Now, does any of your routes take you past Devil's Tower?
No, near the Dakotas.
No.
Okay, so you're
farther
west. Farther west, yep.
Yeah, we're damn close to the Dakotas. I mean, we're pretty east in Montana, but not quite that far.
Yep.
Right.
Well, that's still an excellent ride. And just for those of you who, you maybe want to check this out or follow the Facebook page, there's a bunch of pictures of the little run that you guys did this last weekend, including some poor schmuck diving into a frozen pond at 10,000 feet.
Yeah, we have CBs now this year, and it's been super helpful, but it's also been super playful. And and on our way down, we dared Aaron Post out of Oregon to jump in a mountain lake at 8,000 feet, and it only cost me $50, and it was the best $50 I've ever spent. There's video of it on our Facebook page.
He shrank himself out of existence, didn't he?
Well, and speaking of Facebook page, where can people go to find out more about what's going on?
Yep, give us the deets.
Well, number of places. Our main page is RSC Rat Rods and More, and then we also have a subcategory RSC Rat Rod Build Off Challenge, and that's a open group page, and then we have a private group page for the people in the participants in the build off itself. So you can find us on the Build Off Challenge page or Rat Rod RSC Rat Rods and More.
Yep.
You know, what I like about this is it's just a bunch of guys and gals coming together with a passion in a budget that they're limited to, and you're doing something phenomenal, and people are always looking for something new. You've created it, but it sounds like this last weekend, what was that little trek? How did you do some loop and overnight type stuff, or just a day thing?
It was a three-day trip. For those of us in Spokane, it was 1,400 miles round trip in 3 days. Some of the guys out of Tri-Cities were at 1,800. We decided to drive to Red Lodge, so we did that all in one day. About halfway through the day, because it was not the show itself got canceled, so it was more of just a social event, impromptu car show. Got a little bored, got some advice from some locals, and they told us a route to take, and we decided to do this 4-hour loop. It was about a 200-mile loop. up over the pass into Wyoming and then back. And then Sunday we drove home. So it was just drive, drive, drive.
And just to make this whole thing perfectly clear, none of these cars, you know, existed until you guys built them. They're all from pieces and parts of a variety of different things. It's not something that, you know, came out of the factory looking like that. They're all constructed vehicles, right?
That's 100% constructed from the ground up. Yeah, my build-off car a year ago today came up on Facebook. Reagan and I were digging it. We had to cut three trees down and haul it up an 18-foot bank. It was buried halfway up the doors. So my build-off car didn't exist a year ago to me.
That's the best way to do it, you know. It's the essence, I guess, of of hot rodding, to literally make one out of parts you pulled out of the dirt. I mean, everybody talks about it, but you guys are doing it.
We're doing it. It's a little lofty. I mean, that first day from, you know, from Pasco to Salt Lake City is going to be a 14-hour day, but we're going to challenge ourselves to do it.
Super. Well, one more time, we know what the Facebook pages are. The buy-in essentially is saying you want to do it, plus how much?
$100.
$100 buy-in, and again, committing to spend that X amount of dollars, the $4,000 on the build, and making sure that it'll go 1,000 miles. Your end of the week here is going to be the deadline, and then you got 1 year to build, right?
That's correct. A lot of us have been building for a year, but yes, you'll have 51 weeks to build it.
Super. Hey, Kevin, thanks. It's really been great talking with you. We're going to update some more as we go, but man, this build-off is a serious event. We got more stuff coming up on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. The windshield view is going to be right back with more, so don't go away. Thanks to Kevin Martin out of Spokane. You guys don't go anywhere. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Back in Vehicle City. My old stomping ground. Yes, we are. We're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And with the restrictions from the silly virus killing most of the planned car shows this season, we have a guest this week who found a great way to have a rolling car show. Welcome, Terry Oosterwijk.
Oh, nice job.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for coming in. We're very, very lucky for a couple of reasons. First off, Terry and her partner, whom we're going to talk about too, Jeff Cook, yeah?
Correct.
Yeah. They found a great way to kind of have a car show without having one. And fortunately for us, it was local. So Ron and I both went to the show and had a good time cruising. But the other thing is we're fortunate to have Terry in the studio, so it's really cool. This is going to be one of the very few shows we've done that isn't on video, which is a crying shame because Ron looks really good tonight.
Oh, yes,
no
way,
that's not what I was going to say. So, Terry, thanks. I'm glad you came.
Thanks. This is going to be – I've been looking forward to this. Like I said, my first podcast, first one I've ever listened to, been to. Any of it.
We'll try not to be underwhelming.
It won't be your last.
That's right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, now you've started. See, there's no stopping after this. So tell us a little bit. Now, everybody knows that most of the car shows, you know, the official shows for the season around the Northwest, around every place, have just been canceled, one right after the other. But several people are doing what kind of constitutes a cruise. So you bring your car, you just don't stop anywhere for a real long time. And you decided, I want to hear the story of how the Corona Cruise 1 and 2 sort of came about.
So it was probably 2 weeks before Corona Cruise 1. We were sitting around Sunday night watching TV. I was not paying attention, looking at my phone like I always do on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a gentleman post, it's like everything is being canceled and there's just nothing to do. And I tagged Jeff Cook in the post and I said, Jeff, what about a car cruise? Jeff messages me back and he goes, I think that's a great idea. And that's how the first one was born. And we're like, well, we don't have a lot of time to do this. So we are like, well, when do we pick a date? It always rains. We didn't, you know, we're like, well, let's go May 30th. It's the weekend after a major holiday and let's pick that date. And that's how it was created.
And you have, I mean, I've produced car shows. Ron's produced a billion car shows. And there's, you know, there's kind of, you know, brick and mortar stuff to do when you do that kind of a thing. You have a location. You've got, you know, sanitation. You've got security. You've got organization and all that stuff. A cruise is a whole different deal. So it's kind of a trimmed down logistics piece. What all did you do in order to get the thing going, aside from just publicize it on Facebook?
So logistically, I guess that's the part that was my specialty out of all this, the whole deal. It's like my husband was a former employee of the city of Lake Stevens. He has a very good rapport with the city. So we approached the city. We said, hey, what do you guys think about a rolling car show? Aquafest was canceled. And we said, what do you guys think? And like Steven said, we think it's a great idea, but how are you guys going to keep people from gathering? And I said, well, there's no guarantee on what we can do with that, but we can do our best. And we just kept putting it out there, you know, please social distance. This is a rolling car show. Drop in where you want. We kept the crews growing, you know, clockwise. And you guys probably saw a lot of it if you followed the feed on it. Everybody was like, where do we gather? And it's like, there is no gathering. There is no staging. And so it was like we used the restrooms from the boat launch. And
some of the restaurants that surround the place, too.
For the first one, nothing was open.
Right. That's right.
So it was like there really wasn't anything. So we just used that. But we all know what happened to the weather on the first one. So.
Well, you know, if you think about it, I, as a kid, never went to car shows, but I cruised. That's all I did. Every Friday, every Saturday night, and in the summer, you did a lot more of it. But as a kid, that's what you did. And it didn't matter what you came in. You just went and cruised. We had many different places we'd go cruising. And it wasn't until much later that I, you know, moved here and people were hanging out at a supermarket or whatever. And then I started going into the car show kind of stuff. But cruising has been around for since people have had cars.
It's kind of an easy thing to bring back.
It is.
I mean, in that sense.
Well, there's a lull. It's missing, actually, because of the laws and the regulations.
Sure, well, because of the virus and all the rest of the stuff.
No, they put in laws and restrictions.
Oh, right. You're right. Yeah, a lot of municipalities have anti-cruising things.
This is really cool that we were able to
pull this off. Yeah. I know that if you...
Well, that's some nice music there, Ron.
That's a really great ringtone. Ron has the best ringtones. If you go on Facebook, you can find the page that has both of these cruises. It's Carona, Corona Cruise, 1 and 2, right?
Correct.
Is the same page?
Two different pages.
So Corona Cruise, then Corona Cruise 2.
And this is all on Facebook?
It's all on Facebook.
Yes.
So you can go and kind of see. Because I know that people listening think, you know, maybe we should do something like that. You can. It's not necessarily an original idea, but it's a good idea. And please go to the Facebook page and check it out. It really ended up being a great success. Now, I did not go to the first one, but I watched it. And I thought, how interesting is an idea that, you know, is that? The weather didn't cooperate. It wasn't great weather.
About an inch of rain in about 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But on the other,
and for, and just by way of explanation, Lake Stevens is where we're talking about, and this is a community that's a little bit north of Seattle by about 20 miles ish. And off to the east just a little bit. It's a gorgeous little place, small. The lake itself is, I mean, the community is around the lake, basically.
What's the mileage around
Yeah, the distance
that.
Around the lake is?
We mapped the lake at just under 8 miles.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
So, yeah it's a wow. great way to do it. And you're never really off the road. There's no weird intersections or anything like that. You just kind of cruise all the way around at about 25 miles an hour, and it was gorgeous. The second one, the weather cooperated, for one thing.
And yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, there was a ton of cars at the second one.
The second one? Yeah. So we estimate there were somewhere between 500 and 700 cars at the cruise at its highest point, which was about 7 o'clock.
Right.
We asked the city to hold the line on the cruise at 6 p.m. And it was like people had started showing up at 5:45 and they're like, let's go. And I'm like, we're holding the cruise till 6 o'clock so we can hold the line and line some cars up and get them to roll through with the city of Lake Stevens, their, what is that, a Galaxy? Their police car. It's like an old.
Yeah, it's an old
Mayberry
one.
RFD
cool.
police car. So we asked them to
got hold, the cherry on top and everything.
Yeah, we asked them to hold the line so that they could kick off the cruise. So it's like, it went amazing. I mean, we couldn't have asked for better weather, better people, better cars, a better program for us to use as a cause, which was the Lake Stevens Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
And
win-win all around.
It was a win-win all the way around. And it was just, I love cars. I've loved cars forever. And so for me to get to see all those cars was just, and all different kinds of cars.
And what's interesting is it was just a, I mean, we've been working on our podcast for well over 2 years. And we're like, you guys get the turnout very quickly. And I think there's this huge need here in the Northwest of car shows. There's a huge inner group of people that tend to connect with each other, and this seems like you tapped a nerve, and everybody said, we're coming. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. And basically what it was, it's like I had to hustle. It was like I hustled every Facebook page I could find, and it's like I did old school flyers. I put those on cars all over town where I saw them, and I hustled. I hustled every Facebook club, car group, everything I could find and I could think of. And it's like I shared it to all these pages and shared the event.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of work.
Yep, it does.
That's the way to do it, though.
I think people don't realize sometimes what goes into the behind the scenes.
I truly
don't. Well, especially since, you know, there's kind of a dearth of places that people were able to go right now. The need was a good one. And, you know, timing worked out really, really well. In addition to having, you know, so many different cars, there were actually a pretty good number of clubs that showed up with groups. I know the Rad Bastards were there because we were part of that group. But do you have any idea how many clubs may have shown up?
You know, I don't really have an answer for the second one. But the first one, we had the Stampede, we had the Mustang Mamas, we had the Modern Mopars of Snohomish County, we had Eastside Corvette Club. So we had quite a few clubs for the first one, but I don't have any information on the second one.
Well, I arbitrarily, because I saw these people on the cruise, I know the Rad Bastards were there, the Street Freak Cruisers were there.
I was just going to mention them.
Yeah, they were there. I know that several people from TNGA, the Thursday Night Garage Association, showed up. I know that the Tri-5 group was there, but I don't know how many of them because they were spread out quite a ways. And I saw that there's a Facebook page that's called PNW Custom Coupes and Sedans. And Thomas Owens is the guy that runs the thing. He has been a guest on the show before. But he spent some time promoting the thing. And I know a lot of his people were there.
Yep.
But they mostly drive imports. There's other cars there, too. But it might not have been like hot rods necessarily.
That's okay.
But quite a number of them showed up. Yeah, absolutely. It was great fun.
There were some cars there I've never seen before.
Yeah, me too. Cool. I thought, I remember that one.
And there are, along that area, there's some eateries that people could stop at along the way. And then go in and grab a burger or coffee or what have you. I know there's some coffee stands around the area.
Sure.
Even though it's in the evening, people still like to get a cup of coffee. So it probably bolstered the business area for that period of time. Did it?
Yeah, we did. And we actually reached out to like Lake Stevens Brewery. We did an ad for them on Corona Cruise One. We put flyers in. The same thing with Francisco's Cantina. So we did canvas some of that stuff to put the word out saying, hey, you know what? like the brewery did growlers to go, and so mm-hmm. it was like we said, don't drink them on the cruise, take them home.
Right.
But yeah, we did a lot of that.
Of course.
We did a lot of that too, and I know one thing that I would do next time. I would do it a little bit smarter. I would canvas more of Lake Stevens, so that there were a lot of people that were in Lake Stevens proper with hot rods that didn't even know about the cruise.
Ah,
oh.
See?
So,
well, then you learn as you go. And
you
I
do.
This is the absolute, you know, lead up to that. There will be a Corona Cruise 3, will there not?
There will be Corona Cruise uh-huh. 3 in August of 2021.
Very
oh,
good.
No, yeah, not another one this year?
No, not this year. Oh. Not with this group of people.
Okay.
There may be another one put on with Jeff Cook, but not with the rest of our group.
Okay.
I heard they were trying to find another location for this year.
They are trying to find another location.
I had a suggestion we talked about last week.
We did.
Lake Rossiger. It's around the lake.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
there's
great.
There's a few things there, and there's a, what is it, just down the road. This
where?
Town, this down the road, there's a...
On Lake Rossiger?
Yeah, it's concrete. Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah, concrete. Yeah.
Is it just down the road from the...
Not far.
The north?
Yeah, and they might. You know, there might be a good charitable organization up there or something, you know.
There's Boys and Girls Club everywhere.
Could be there. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just touch base with Jeff Cook.
You should.
I'm friends with him on Facebook, so we can do that.
And the thing about cruising is a lot of people are now just doing it because...
Yeah.
I do remember in the late 80s, mid 80s, they started restricting all the cruises.
Yeah.
They really clamped down. People stopped doing it. Now with all this, it's like people are just getting out and driving. They want to be out. They want to be with their friends. They might, hey, we're going to go out. If you're out there, we're going to see you. And all of a sudden, you might see people cruising around, but it's not official. It's just they're driving along
well,
on the road.
And every weekend, there's almost every Friday, there's some sort of gathering at
somewhere,
you know, the drive-in or something like that.
Yep.
So it's, I mean, what am I trying to say? The holes are punched to do this. It's just a matter of letting everybody know that you want to.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty easy. Plus, you know, the car community is one where you got a car, you didn't build it to sit in the garage, you want to take it someplace. Well, we're just going to drive to wherever it is. And if that happens to be a place
that's
where
right.
we can give
and
a couple of bucks for a usable, you know, charity, then we'll do that too.
And these cruises that she puts on, and it doesn't have to be a total hot rod. It
exactly.
Nope.
Of course.
It could be your Jeep Cherokee. Or
yeah.
Your,
yep.
You know,
oh, yeah,
FJ
of course.
That's probably why you got so many cars is it's just people showed up with whatever they had. And probably local people said, hey, I want to join in on this. And then they started cruising around as well, I bet.
Of course. Did
you see people just kind of joining in?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the big deals like Corona Cruise 1 when the weather tanked on Saturday, because if you remember, Friday was sunny and 83.
It was nice.
Yeah. And then there was Saturday where it was 58 and pouring down rain.
This
is Washington.
But we pretty much decided that it was like, you know, we said, bring whatever you want. Like,
sure.
Bruce, I believe it was Bruce Malmsteed.
Yeah, Bruce is cool.
He drove his 97 Ford F-250
yeah.
and he cruised the lake.
Oh,
and it's like, you know, a lot of your daily drivers came out, and it's like, you know, we love those as much as we love, you know, the old T-bucket rods, whatever they are. We love them all. So it's like, bring anything.
Support
if
your
you
community.
Love your car, you know, you show your car.
Now, when you said you supported a, we're coming down to our wire here, but when you did was there like an entrance fee, or how did people support the Boys and Girls Club? Was there just a drop box that people could put some money in? How did that work?
So, yeah, we decided that we were going to use the cause as the Lake Stevens Boys and Girls
right.
Club, because the Boys and Girls Club gets the bulk of their funding through their sports programs.
And well, they're all cut
because
now.
Because of the Rona, there were no sports programs, and they wrote out over 500 checks as refunds. So we said, you know, that was part of what we offered to Lake Stevens. We'll give you a charitable cause.
There you go.
And so we raised over $7,000 between the two
congratulations.
Wow,
that's
awesome.
And we solely did it by donations on the side of the
road
awesome. With my two girls working the donation buckets.
Yep.
Congratulations.
We stopped by. Absolutely. Yep. Well, listen, I'm going to go back to the Facebook page just so that everybody knows. If you go to CAR, Corona Cruise 1 and 2, you can go there on Facebook. You can see what Terry did and her partner Jeff with both of these runs. And, I'm so disappointed that there won't be another one this year. Maybe kind of sort of maybe.
Well, maybe we can figure something out, Brady.
I'm pretty sure we can. Yeah, we've done a couple of these. So maybe that's a thing coming up. But Terry, thank you so much for coming down and sitting in. How did you feel about your first podcast?
It was awesome. Thanks, guys.
Right on.
Well, we appreciate your willingness to give us a shot. We really tried not to make this horrible for you.
No, it's been great having you in here. You're such a chipper person, great personality, and I can see how you did such a great job of getting this going. And
a horse person, too, I happen to know.
I'm a hustler.
You're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and a great hot rod story you can share with your friends is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school.
The light counted. 15, 14, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
It's time for Car Confidential. This week, another story with the Fenders, Fins, and Friends.
Confessions of a Car Guy.
There you go.
I was on Facebook today, and Lance was talking about one of his stories on his page, and Lance Lambert, of course, is the author. And somebody said, gee, these are really great stories. And so I took the opportunity to say, yes, they are. And you can hear them every week on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust podcast. Lance, you know, ding, 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 hit me a little thumbs up there, you know. But we always feel good about Lance letting us read the stories. Not that he would mind in any case, but I try to do them, you know, do them justice. This one this week is called Audible Autos. They're all kind of audible, well, except Teslas. Is there a medical term for people who talk to their cars? Well,
it's called therapy.
If so, it certainly applies to us. Lance says, I acquired my first automobile at the age of 14. My father gave me an inoperable and worn-out 1949 Dodge Business Coupe in the hopes that I would gain valuable knowledge while attempting to bring the coupe back to life. The day after Dad gave me the car, I asked him, "Hey, Dad, a couple of guys just offered me $50 for the Dodge. Could I sell it?" He was not pleased, but he gave me permission to say goodbye to the Dodge, so I patted it on the fender, said adios, and added the $50 to the fund used to purchase my next car, a 1948 Chevy Fleetline that ran great for one entire week prior to the engine breaking.
Jeez.
Yes, breaking, as in a big hole being blown out the side of the block. That's a significant break.
Maybe he forgot to put oil.
Catastrophic. J.B. Weld is not going to fix that.
No.
There's no way. So a friend towed the Chevy home for me, and we pushed it into the garage, and for a few weeks I sat in the forlorn Fleetline and told it that I would soon bring it back to life. Yes, I patted the dashboard. I explained that as soon as financially feasible, I'd replace its broken heart with a suitable transplant, and we'd be back on the road together. Within a couple of weeks, I traded a pizza for an engine that my buddy Greg had removed from his 1940 Chevrolet. Greg was upgrading to a V8, but like my Chev, I was broke, and I was grateful for any engine. This one was free thanks to my employment at the local Pizza Haven.
Fortunate.
A motor that ran.
I didn't even know
awesome.
Pizza Haven existed back in those days.
It was an expensive pizza.
Yeah, that's right. This was in those days. That was a nice little shot.
Right.
Did you hear what Steve said?
I didn't even know that Pizza Haven was around in those days.
In those days, back pre. So how old do you
it
think
was
Lance
blessing,
is?
It was a blessing, though.
It was back in the 50s.
1863. So I shared the news with the Chevy, and I told with substantial help that from my car buddies, we would install the new engine. The fleet line and I were again a happy couple. The point of these two shared memories is that I talk to my cars. The Lambert Garage protects two vehicles that I talk to almost every day, a restored 1950 Studebaker that's driven to local car shows, and a 2006 Mustang convertible that's the daily driver. Now, this is before he got the Crossfire that I know he still has, and a Volkswagen that I'm pretty sure he still has. Due to my work schedule, it's not unusual for the Studebaker to sit in the garage for several weeks without being driven. Often before climbing into the Mustang, I'll pat the top of the Studebaker and apologize for not giving it as much attention as it deserves. These apologies are spoken out loud. After an affectionate pat on the Studi's dashboard, it's always administered when we pull into the garage after the day on the road. I thank it for not breaking down and maybe even tell it when our next outing will be. Others have told me that they also talk to their cars. We're not nutty enough to think that our cars are actually living creatures, but we are all superstitious enough to think that a few kind words here and there are appreciated by our fendered friends. The Stang and the Stude always greet me when I enter the garage. They don't actually speak words, of course, but instead they give me big, shiny smiles when I turn on the lights. Turning on the colorful neon signs and the gas pumps make them look like they're just giggling with glee. Lance needs serious mental help.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of therapy for him.
I'm sure.
It's guilt-driven, but it's a form of therapy.
The real...
Car therapy.
That's right. The real party Auto-therapy. Begins when I turn on the oldies station for music that came out of the studio's radio speaker 50 years earlier. Ha! Don't worry. I've never heard either car talk back to me, he says. They are just large hunks of metal and do not come alive like the 58 Plymouth that starred in the movie Christine. They are, however, great listeners. The nice lady who lives in the other parts of the house understands my odd behavior. For many decades, she has seen and heard me communicating with various vintage vehicles, but still allows me to hang around and apparently sleep in the house. No appropriate word seems
not
to
in the car.
Well, I'm not saying that never happened. It's not for me to say. No appropriate word seems to exist for people who talk to their cars. How about? Oh, he couldn't resist.
No.
How about carmunicators?
Oh, wow!
All of that for a lousy pun like that, Lance. You're killing me, buddy.
Communicators.
Wouldn't it be fun to hook up a microphone in one of the cars and be outside?
Oh, I'd pay money.
And just have his
start
car
talking
talk
to
back.
Him.
Just wait till he came in the morning. Hello.
Hello. You never drive me anymore. What's wrong with you?
How come you're not fixing my exhaust pipe? You know, the Stude at a car show a couple of years ago, I think it was out at Issaquah, Fenders on Front Street.
Yep.
He was driving the Stude, and he asked me, he said, hey, stand there for a second and tell me if it's smoking, if it's blowing smoke. And sure enough, it was, a little blue smoke coming out of there. I said, yeah. He said, oh, she was right. I went, who she? Now I realize it was the car that told him.
Yes,
like, yes, I'm smoking.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cars, I came across a really interesting truck on Hemmings.
Oh, you did you?
And
are you going to buy it?
Well, not
quite. You already
quite.
Have one.
Is it an El Camino?
No, but it's a 71 International Harvester Johnny Reb edition.
Ooh.
I remember those.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
And when you look at a Harvester truck, it actually, when you look at the details, it's a bulkier, beefier looking truck than a traditional truck. It's got a little more accoutrements to it. And what really stands out is it's red and the gray on the side,
right.
But it's got the little stripes on the front hood with the little white stripe, the white stars.
This is stock.
Right.
This is stock. You can see a picture
there. It was the Johnny Reb edition.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a standout during the 71
era. Yes,
it
was.
And I'm like, well, you know, you think about the 71 El Camino, and then you have the 71 Johnny Reb. But it was there kind of like they also did. What was their car that they did with the Stars and Stripes? Didn't they do one of those?
Who are you talking about, American Eagle?
That was AMC, I think.
Yeah,
AMC.
Well, it was kind of
AMC.
Oh,
that's right. It was
a spinoff from AMC, but yeah.
They also had a red box truck, the Dodge with the wood rack.
Yes. Oh, they did, yeah.
You buy the stock.
Was that Big Red?
Big Red.
Big Red.
I remember that one. Woods, it had the wood side rails. Yeah.
So, I mean, they had these kind of cool, interesting trucks that came along, and it was like, okay, PC, would it be PC to have a Johnny Reb? Of course it would, because it's cool. This is all stock, and, you know, probably you can pick it up.
So this was on Hemmings?
Yep.
What'd they want for it?
Oh, I can't. I didn't write it down because I ran out of room on my paper here. But it's a two-tone red over metallic.
I think so.
Well, I need to work on the one I've got.
We're not saying anything.
No, but it's got the little decal, the Johnny Reb character, saber-wielding Confederate soldier, apparently Johnny Reb himself, right on the back end.
That's right.
So, I mean, you think about that, then the General Lee came out. It wasn't a General Lee until the TV show, which was in the actual 80s.
Right. Early 80s, but yeah.
Early 80s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how many replicas of that have you ever seen?
Every
150 cars.
All claiming to be one of the originals. Mm-hmm.
Well, they blew up about 75 of them.
Totally.
I mean,
over 100 or more.
Yep.
Joey Chitwood and his stunt drivers were part of the team that did most of the stunts on that show. You remember him, Joey?
Oh, yeah, they did the circuit around here with all the racetracks.
Yeah, it was great.
They set records, world records
there,
literally.
It was him, I think, who originated the driving the car on two wheels bit.
Yes, it is.
That was huge in the 70s
and
80s. I mean, that was like in all the movies.
Well,
they even had it in one of the James Bond. He's like cruising along.
Well, they had it in one of the Fast and Furious. And I thought, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds' movie, they had one in there, too.
Yeah.
And
he's
a stuntman.
Yeah, one of the, let's see, was it Eastbound? It wasn't Eastbound and Down. It was the next one.
It was one before that. I think it was before that.
Oh, I don't Bandit? Could have been.
That's the name of this. He's Bound Down was Bandit.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Well, thanks to Lance Lambert for his too cool book. They're, of course, available on Amazon or through the Vintage Vehicle Show website. Nathan Lipinski's weekly trivia question is next. Don't you go away.
Put it in park.
Stick around.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Help Only you can understand. Hey, it's Around the Wheel. This is where we do the upcoming events and the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Lipinski. Oh, wait, no, he's not here. But he listens, and we thank him for that. By golly, he listens so often, and he answered so many of the trivia questions that we named the question after
him. Yes,
we
did.
And well done at that. Last week's question was, this is a simple question. What was the first year that radios were offered as an accessory? And, you know, people probably had radios, you know, before that. But the first year that it was actually offered as an accessory was?
42.
Can I guess? I think?
Yeah.
It's 39.
Ooh. Now, they didn't come stock, but they were an accessory starting in 1923.
Oh, nice. My goodness. Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, that's, you got to go, I wonder what they paid extra.
So I wonder what other radio stations would have.
I mean, that's like back in
turn them in.
Well, there was AM radio. I mean,
yeah, but that wasn't that far from being the birth of AM radio, right?
Oh, no. Radio started way back when. Radio started in 17. Well, let's see.
No.
17?
No. Hang on. 18. When did Bell come up with the signal? Because radio and the telephone were just about the same.
Well, you had the that
no,
was
that's
the first
Morse
thing.
That's, no, that's
no, no, no. You had code. The telegraph lines.
No, radios.
First.
I want to say 1890 something. I'll go look it up.
Wow.
It could be but the bottom
it
line
could be
is
a trivia question.
It could be a trivia question.
Yes, it could.
Only Brady Wright.
But 1923. That's a ways back there.
Yeah.
The question though was nobody got the answer to this. By the way, and so I'm gonna vamp on it for a second. Do you know what it cost to get the radio added?
$2.
Almost. Steve's not got, he's got nothing.
$3.50.
No, it wasn't even that. You got to remember, the average hourly wage back then was 78 cents an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but you're talking about a radio.
$1.85.
Wow.
$1.85.
The whole car was probably $350.
Oh, yeah.
And it was probably tubes. It was probably a tube amp.
I'm sure. There was no transistors. Yeah, and it's just, it just kills me.
A big bolt. I would love to see one of those.
It was probably this long.
Okay,
around, Lance, on the front.
Lance Lambert,
for the radio.
our the guy that we just read, he's got his radio corral. He needs to find a 1929 radio,
a challenge
car radio.
Oh, that's it.
I'm
challenge. Texting him after the show.
He has to find one.
So yeah, we didn't get a winner on that one. I'm not surprised. It's kind of obscure, but this one we will definitely get a winner
like
on this
it.
One. Now, this is kind of a trick question. When were the first toll roads instituted in America? Because toll roads go back. You know,
38.
Maybe so.
Don't say anything.
It's possible, but that's okay. The first toll roads in America, if you know that one, you can hit us up on email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can go to the Facebook page and put an answer in there. That's okay. They're all time-hacked and dated, so I know who's going to get first. Nathan probably already knows this one. He's, even as we speak, he's written, you know, writing it down. But yeah, it's very, very cool. The first toll roads, there's a fun fact that goes with this, and we'll talk about it next week. Check out the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page, by the way, for the full color 8x10 winner certificates when we have a winner. And you can send us your answer on the page on Facebook, or you can email us either way. So we do reach over 1 million car enthusiasts every week. We're still in the top 10 of all of the automotive podcasts on Podomatic. We thank you for that. You can email the show at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can message us on Facebook. I want to thank you for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. The archives, in case you want to go back and listen to old shows, they are on YouTube, many of them, but you can go to horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. All of them are there. We're also on Spotify and iTunes and iHeartRadio, as well as Stitcher and TuneIn and Player FM, which I still have to go and listen to, and Podbay and CastBox. Thanks for Terry Oosterwick for stopping by and telling us about the Corona Cruise 1 and 2. And it was cool getting the build-off update from Kevin Martin of Rat Rods, or RSC, Rat Rods and More. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, an incredible talent. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week for another Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.